Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Chicago Bears set out to improve on their 9-7 94 season. And while they finished right back at 9-7 again, what an enlightening journey it was.
Red, right, 22 Razor on the quick, ready?
The trigger man was Iron Man Eric Kramer, the only NFL quarterback to take every snap in 1995.
Vikings show a blitz up front. They've got Del Rio and Barnett in the blitz position. Back to throw, Kramer off play action. Rainbow, yes! Right side. Conway ahead of the field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Curtis Conway. Oh, my goodness. He was like Secretariat in the Belmont.
Eric Kramer won the Triple Crown of quarterbacking. He threw the most passes for the most yards, with the fewest interceptions in team history. His 29 touchdown passes broke Sid Luckman's mark that stood for 52 years. And quite simply, he had the best single season a Bear quarterback ever had.
I give you lightning on the line. It's going to be lightning pump. I give you that. It's pump, automatic pump. Get him running, bump, and go.
And that still stands. That was the best quarterbacking performance over a single season in the history of the Chicago Bears. I was lucky that it was also my very first year working at this same radio station, my very first year on the beat covering the Bears every day as a reporter. So still extremely memorable. That man, Eric Kramer, is joining us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Eric, when I usually bring people, somebody in for an interview, I just sort of casually ask, how are you? And that person says, I'm fine. It seems more meaningful now, but genuinely, how are you?
Well, I got a little goosebumps listening to that thing there just a minute ago. So that was fun. And to go back a couple of years. And other than that, you know, things are calming down. And you know, obviously this COVID thing has kind of brought the country to its knees a little bit. But generally speaking, everything's going well. Thanks.
The very last part of Dan Wetzel's wonderful and harrowing story here is where I want to start. And as you are looking to a new future, and your quote is, I'm walking through the wreckage and rubble of my life, but at least I feel normal walking through it. What does normal feel like?
Well, so there was quite a bit of time, I'd say about 3 or 4 years, where after I had this traumatic brain injury, it was like walking through a fog at times. So we could have had a conversation, say back in sometime in 2016 or 17, and it's very likely that I would not remember your name, or if we were face to face, what you looked like if I'd never seen you before. That's kind of what those first few years were like. And then now I honestly do feel like brain-wise back to normal. So in terms of remembering what happens from one day to the next, I'm on it. I speak and remember things like normal. So it's kind of weird to think about it that way, but, you know, with I hate to make light of it, but despite a bullet going through my brain, I'm still here and, you know, and talking to the neuropsychologist that is an expert in traumatic brain injuries, he was saying, you know, it's about the 4-year period, it's about the right time, 4 to 5 year period, when you start feeling back to normal.
It's a couple things stand out to me. First of all, just how unlucky you were to have been taken advantage of by a former girlfriend in this way, and just the depth of depravity in her desire to take advantage of you in that way, and just how unlucky it was to happen to come across that person in your life at that time, and then for it to have been discovered by other people, for people who remained in your life and cared about you to continue to do the forensic accounting and the heavy lifting to not only turn it all around, but to actually make it so charges could be filed against her. And now there are 12 felony charges pending. The amount of energy from people who support you and care about you is something else that really comes through in this story.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there have been, starting with, so a friend of mine that I went to high school with, her name is Anna Durgan. We've been friends, obviously, since we were about 17 or 18. And then she's really the one that discovered everything. And then my aunt and my sister were also, you know, in the middle of all this stuff. And I wish there was time to go through it all, but just suffice it to say that, so this was the theft part. Began in April of 2016. And it was discovered by Anna in, I want to say it was mid-October of 2016. And then the detective came to see me at the brain clinic I was attending. And this is what I'm going to say is, apparently I identified like $47,000 in unauthorized theft, right? Mm-hmm. Only the problem is I also identified a couple of forged checks, all by Courtney. So, but I could not tell you about anything about that meeting with the detective. I couldn't tell you what he looked like. I couldn't tell you what we spoke about, nothing. And it wasn't until about a year after that, or maybe 2 years after that, that I actually got to see the initial police report of the charges that I don't even think I identified. I think they were identified for me. But some of the charges I identified were my own. That's how not with it I was. And anyway, so it was... You're right. It was the depravity of a person who, and again, this is the crazy part. So Courtney came into my life at two of the most vulnerable times you could ever have. One was following the death of my son, Griffin. And she was, or is, the sister of a guy who used to be a friend of mine. And when I say used to, it's because I don't even know what happened. Where that all went wrong. I have no idea what went the issue between her brother and I. No idea. But she took advantage of that situation. And then she knew Griffin on a few occasions. And then later on, after I had broken up with her, we had sort of an on-again, off-again relationship for a couple, 2-3 years. I was broken up with her for over a year before she... I don't even remember when she reinserted herself back in my life. But she was calling me constantly and actually came... I was, at that time, going. I was living with my sister and her two kids in the Las Vegas area, which is about 4 hours from where I live by car. And Courtney was apparently calling me nonstop the entire time. And I was out there for 2 months. I don't remember any of it. And then she drives home, drives me home in my car, and 4 days later is stealing from me.
And then went out of her way to also, without your knowledge, essentially without your legal consent, decides to marry you to change all the legal angles and make it more difficult to untangle all this stuff.
There you go. She got married. She coerced the marriage out of me. And this is after the detective came to see me. And this is after... This is another crazy part. End of November, November 29th, apparently, unbeknownst to me, Courtney intercepted a piece of mail that had come from Wells Fargo Bank, letting me know the contact information of the detective that I had a month earlier spoken with. Courtney intercepts that, contacts the detective, drives out to his office at the Chatsworth Courthouse, walks in thinking she's going to get arrested, and admits to everything. Turns around, walks out. Now, if you're investigating a murder and I walk in and confess to the murder in your office, and you're the only detective investigating the only suspect, and I admit it, am I going to, you allow me to walk out of your office?
So what changed? What changed their level of attention? Why now is she facing counts of elder abuse, identity theft, and forgery charges, the 12 felony charges? What momentum had to build to actually get it taken seriously?
The never say die attitude of Anna Durgan. And the fact that once I started coming to mentally, I clamped down on it, I wasn't willing to let go either. So the detective who had investigated all this retired not long after that coerced marriage. Oh, and by the way, the neuropsychologist who I had gone to see prior to, it was, I think I saw him 2 days prior to the detective coming to see me, he had declared me as medically and financially incapacitated, which means I was not allowed to make medical decisions for myself. I was not allowed to make financial decisions and control my own finances. And I was also not allowed to sign any legal documents. Well, guess what a legal document is? A marriage certificate. Mm-hmm. So she coerced the marriage, and the marriage itself was a crime.
So how important is it to you that she stand trial instead of come to a plea agreement?
It's 100% important to me. I do not want this going to a plea deal, but here's the other issue. So given this COVID situation, they're letting criminals out of jail right now. And for financial criminals like Courtney, they're not even making them go to jail right now. So there's a very good chance, according to this new deputy district attorney, that Courtney will spend no time in jail, even if she gets convicted on all 12 felony counts. Which, by the way, she's probably, you know, I came home, this is June 12th, 2018. I come home from playing in the Bears alumni golf tournament. I talked to a few people who I hadn't seen in a while in Chicago. One of them was Father Pete Arminio. He used to be the team priest when I was there. I'm not Catholic, but he and I just formed a good relationship. He's one of the people I saw while I was back there. And I told him that I was going home to get a divorce because Courtney was stealing from me. And I go home. The next morning, I tell Courtney I'm getting a divorce. She then calls 911 and claims falsely that charges. So I get charged and arrested for domestic violence. So I'm in jail for a day without my credit card, without my wallet, without my keys. She steals $18,700 in 4 days. Then later, and then she then files for divorce on that same day. She goes to spend 3 days at the Four Seasons, even though there's a restraining order keeping me out of my own house for 2.5 months.
So were she to stand trial, that would be rather than just the charges against you dropped, which they have been, mm-hmm. would there be a chance in a court proceeding for you to almost have to prove your own innocence?
Well, the domestic violence charge has been dropped, as you said. But it didn't get dropped because Courtney Baird threw her hand up in the air and said, "Hello, everybody. I am a complete liar. And this is a complete fabrication. There never was, nor has there ever been any domestic violence regarding her." That's not what happened. What happened was she got arrested. That's why the charges got dropped. So I need to clear my name still. And this deputy district attorney is not interested in pursuing the perjuries against her because within the whole domestic violence thing itself, she made 3 written declarations where I threw a couple things, one at her daughter. Meanwhile, her daughter was asleep the whole time. So there was never any argument over anything. And she's saying, "I threw a couple things. So if the police show up, wouldn't there be pictures of those 2 things on the ground somewhere?" And in another declaration written under penalty of perjury, she also said, "I toppled over a chair in the backyard." Well, wouldn't there be a picture of that in the police photos? So it never happened. It's been dropped, but it's not been dropped the way I want it dropped. And well, and that's where I'm really disappointed in the initial deputy district attorney who did not file charges against Courtney when she had admitted her own crime back when the theft was about $50,000 and there were still 4 forgeries. And then the marriage, even though the district attorney said the marriage muddied the waters, and that's what part of the reason why she didn't prosecute Courtney. Well, the marriage itself was a crime.
We are talking with former Bears quarterback Eric Kramer here on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. It sounds, Eric, like your command of the facts now, of times and dates, everything is rock solid after going through what you described as a foggy period. And I wonder if it makes it more difficult for investigators when they have to say, well, where were you in your neurological recovery when we start talking about some of the facts of the case of what they can go on and what they can't?
Right. Well, they know. Like, I'm not the first person with a traumatic brain injury to get taken advantage of and be stolen from. So they know Courtney's profile. Like, I later, after the detective had retired and after, you know, I'm, you know, not even living in my own house because of this false domestic violence charge, he calls me and he begins talking to me about Courtney's profile as fitting into a certain character, a certain category of criminal. They isolate you from everybody you know. In the theft, it's just one lie after another. So knowing that, if you're the deputy district attorney, why don't you, you know, because I was not comprehending, even though there was theft, who was doing the theft when it was clearly obvious. And if that's the case, at some point, why don't you isolate me somewhere?
Well, it sounds like go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but the problem is that district attorney made her own conclusion and decided not to prosecute. She, one of her other things was that she didn't think it would be good for me, for some reason, to have any publicity around this matter. And she also said it was her, apparently, in addition to being an attorney, she was also a medical professional, because she decided that despite no other doctor saying that I needed round-the-clock or any care at home, apparently she decided on her own that, I would need a round-the-clock medical provider, so who better than the thief to continue providing that?
Well, so it sounds like there's still a lot of work to do to continue to untangle. It does sound like there's still an uphill battle for justice to be done.
That's a good way to put it. And I wish I could sound more, I guess, I don't know what the word is, but I wish I could sound more in step with what the deputy district attorney, her stance is on all this. But I'm not. Because they're happy with these 12 felony charges they have against Courtney, but that's really maybe 75% of her crime. And in the meantime, my reputation is soiled on this domestic violence charge. You know, there was no story that the domestic violence charge was dropped. There was a hell of a story when I was charged and arrested.
Eric Kramer is our guest on Sports Radio 670, The Score, the former Bears quarterback. How are your memories of all the time previous, your football memories? Are those still intact, or does that seem like almost a different person at this point?
No, strangely, I never knew I still don't know how the brain works, but my long-term memory is pretty much intact. There was about a year and a half in there where, you know, my memory is maybe 25%, maybe. But now I'd say it's 100%. And back then, in the earlier days of my life, playing football, growing up, high school, whatever, that's all intact. Kind of weird, but that's how I sit today.
Wow. So before we let you go,
thankfully,
it's incredible. Let me ask you then about, we've talked a lot about the current quarterback competition that the Bears are having. I remember vividly standing on the practice field at in Platteville, and I remember the first day that Rick Meyer took his first snap and threw his first pass, and we looked at each other. The reporters who looked at each other and said, was that really 8 feet over that guy's head? And we're watching Rick Meyer play, and we're thinking they just traded a first round pick for him. And Eric, I mean, we said this guy can't play. Like we're not even football coaches. We're just reporters, and we're watching this, thinking, oh my God, what did they do? And they still went through with this competition. And I know after the fact what players were saying about it.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's not unique to the Bears. I was involved in something like that in Detroit when they drafted Andre Ware. And he's another one that, you know, I wouldn't be talking this way about him, but he, at that time in life, I think he had a way of coming across that even though he couldn't play catch and he had just won the Heisman, he just strutted around like he thought he was God's gift to football. So that made it even more hard to swallow. Rick was at least a good, nice guy. But I go back to the competition when you brought this up regarding Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. I had a similar competition going on with Steve Walsh.
Yep.
Who in 1994 I got hurt and he came and played well enough that we were winning games and going to the playoffs. And I remember Dave Wannstedt called us both in the off season, the next off season, and said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open this up to a open competition between the both of you. And in prior to that, they had taken my contract and reworked it so I wasn't making – I could still hit what I would make with the original contract, but it was more incentive-based. And so I got my contract cut. I got basically told, okay, you're going to have an open competition now, which, okay, fine. So I went in and persevered and came out, you know, on top of that deal. So it just kind of, the competition that's going to be going on now between the two quarterbacks with the Bears, that's my experience with it. And that the unfortunate part, for as I look at it for this year, is there's going to be no preseason games.
Right.
So they're going to have to figure this out, and there's been no offseason. So they're going to have to figure this out within the parameters of practice during training camp, which I don't know how that's going to go. Because, you know, here Nick Foles is not just a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but an MVP Super Bowl winning quarterback. But he's never started a full season. And then Trubisky has shown flashes of being great at times and then being not so great at other times. And last year was not – by any, not a good year at all for anybody with the Bears. And so it's going to be, yeah, I guess watching it all, it's going to be, you know, I think obviously an important decision, but I was looking this morning and the Bears quarterback, the title of the article online here was, I think it was the NFL's 2020 state of each team's quarterback or something like that. And the Bears were last. Mm-hmm. And that shows you, that showed me what the perception is around the NFL of the Bears quarterback situation. It may turn out to be, once they go through it all, you know, I went through that and came out and had an excellent year, as you just led into with this whole thing about a little audio recap of 1995, that could also happen to the quarterback situation this year with the Bears. One of them could come out of this or combine together could end up having a great year at that position.
Here's hoping. Eric Kramer, it's nice to hear that you are doing well after just an indescribable ordeal that you've been through going on years now, and I hope you're able to find a sense of personal peace and a sense of justice when all is said and done.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I think we're heading in that direction.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay, Dan. Take care.
That is Eric Kramer, former Bears quarterback on Sports Radio 670. And I want to mention that if you are struggling with suicidal thoughts anywhere in your mind, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. That's 1-800-273-8255. There are people prepared to talk. And I know these are difficult times for many. But that number again is 1-800-273-8255.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.